You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I can't promise. I'm going to try my best today. I just told Dan Dale and Owen Parker, I'm going to try my best today to not call it a Buffalo Football Monday. I just said it, but because of the context, I know. I'm going to try my best to call it Friday because it's Friday. And last week, I think last Friday, I kept saying Monday. And then on Monday, I said Friday a few times. No idea why. Head was spinning all over the place. It's playoff time, though, baby. You got to be dialed in. Got to be dialed in playoff time. Oh, and do you remember getting dialed in for these big games and how you have a different routine when you had to play goalie and you're like, okay, this is it for keeps, man.
Well, you try to not have a different routine.
Yeah.
But
see,
you
I like
end
that
up
answer.
With a different routine,
mm-hmm.
On accident because you're you know all pressurized
yep.
and your brain's all scrambled, so you end up you know in your routine finding a different thing, and there's always a different feel, and so. You know, I'm sure that's what all those guys are going through right now.
Were you superstitious when you played?
Oh, I mean, Sal, I was a goalie, of course.
That's right. So, find me a goalie that's not.
I was, I used to the point where I would, like, throw my hand-eye coordination balls. This was the best example. I would throw them in multiples of 3 and 2.
Okay.
Because that was my number.
Not because that's the drill. That's because that was a superstition.
No, I would throw left hand would be, you know.
Okay.
If I wanted to get a lot of reps, I would do, you know, 9 on that one. And then I'd have to do 8 on the other because I had to change to fit my, like, it was psychotic and insane. And I think a lot of people are like that. So,
yep.
You know, you learn from that and you try and not let it control you, but you prepare how you need to prepare.
I'm not superstitious from this standpoint of like, I have to do something the same way. But if I do something different, then I think about it. Like, hey, I didn't do that last time. You know what I mean? After the fact. Okay, for example, drive to the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Drive, just simple as drive to the stadium. There's a certain route that I go. But because of timing of games and how roads are impacted near the stadium, sometimes I might have to take a different route. Or maybe I go to Max's hockey game in the morning and I'm like, okay, now I get to go for the night game or to a 4:25 game. So I have a different route I take from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about, ooh, you know what? Last week I took the other route and the Bills won big. Like if I take this other route, is everything going to be different this week? I think about it that way. I'm not superstitious. I think of in the moment if I'm doing something different.
And I think all of, at least for me, my superstition in what I was playing was trying to eliminate that question in my mind. It was, don't give yourself any excuses. Like, why do I feel off? Oh, it's because I threw the ball 8 times instead of 9 and it's not the same as mine. Like, just eliminate all excuse, all variable, so that you prepare the same way so you have no excuse to give yourself in the moment.
I love that. It's a great transition into some of the things we'll talk about today, which is how Sunday could play out and what really the feeling is going to be on Monday. We will do that here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at a Buffalo Football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Are you game day ready? You have about 48 hours to get game day ready. Just over that, the Bills will take on the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday, 1 p.m. in Jacksonville. The Bills have not won a road playoff game, as you know probably. It's been hammered into your head this week all over the place since 1993, the 1992 season. And that would have been in Miami. They won in Pittsburgh. That was the week after the comeback game. So what happened in the Bills go to the Super Bowl 90, they go back in 91. 92, they beat the Oilers in the greatest comeback in NFL history. but they're a wild card team, so they have to go on the road the next week. They go and win in Pittsburgh with Frank Reich as quarterback. And then the next week, they go to Miami and win the AFC Championship game. That is the last time the Bills have won a road playoff game. They lost in 95, 96, 99, you know, to January 2000, I guess, right? The home run throwback in Tennessee where they should have won the game and closed it out and didn't. And then, of course, in this iteration of the Bills. Excuse me. In this iteration of the Bills, you have 2017, they break the drought. Tyrod Taylor, go to Jacksonville. And, of course, lose a very low-scoring game. It was right there, but they really didn't have much offense to speak of. Defense played outstanding against the Jags team the next week that went and blew the doors off the Steelers. Scored, like, over 40 points. The Bills lost that game. 19, they go back to the playoffs. That's Josh's second year. And, of course, we know they have a nice lead at halftime, but does not work out in the second half. They lose at the Houston Texans. And that was 19. In 20, they go to the Kansas City Chiefs and losing the AFC Championship game, the COVID year. 21, back to the scene of the crime. That's the 13 seconds year. These are all the road games. 22, nothing because it was home loss. 23, home loss. And then last year, again, back to Kansas City. So, I mean, three of these losses have been against the Chiefs, which is the team that's been owning the NFL, essentially, for the last several years. Yes, you'd love to get one of those games. It's also, it's not, you understand, like, when you're losing to the best team, you know, it's hard. And I would also say, I was on a couple different radio spots this week where they asked me about this, like the road playoff game and not winning a road game in all these years. Well, one of the answers is, folks, they didn't make the freaking playoffs for 17 years. You can't win a road playoff game if you don't play a road playoff game for 17 years, right? I mean, that's also part of it. So, it's been a challenge. That being said, this is not the same kind of road environment the Bills have faced over these years. Jacksonville can get a bit rowdy and loud with their Duval chant and crowd, but there's going to be so much Bills Mafia in this stadium on Sunday. And Jacksonville is a more of a transient type of town, transplant type of town in a lot of ways. Fans from other places, but they do have now, what, 30 years of existence of their team. So they built a nice fan base. They've been up and down, hot and cold. You know the jokes. They tarp the stadium with the seats. They outsource their games to London. But, you know, they're in the playoffs now. They like their team a lot. They're going to show up. They're going to try and make it difficult on the Bills, but it's not going to be like Kansas City. It's not going to be like Arrowhead. It's not going to be like Houston. It's going to be an opportunity for the Bills to go on the road, have a little bit of a different and better environment than a lot of those other places, and advance on to the divisional round. But the spread is 1 point for a reason. Because it's going to be a really close game, folks. Really close game. It should be, at least. I mean, it could be a blowout, right? The point is, this is going to be a game that really can swing on so many different factors and so many minute details, including injuries. And we'll talk with Bills head coach Sean McDermott just about an hour from now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He will give us the latest, newest, updated injury report, game status for anybody declared out of the game, who's going to practice today, who's been on the injury report and who hasn't. Who has been on the injury report, who isn't or is going to practice today, I should say. What capacity? We'll get all of that from Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up just about an hour from now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Pat Hammer with a look at Jacksonville weather. Are you going down to the game? A lot of you are. Some of you are there already. Maybe you're listening. I'll fly down tomorrow on the team charter. It'll be 80 degrees when we land there tomorrow, essentially. Close to 80 degrees. Not the case on Sunday, though. It won't be super hot. It's going to be about 65 to 70. I like it. That's good football weather. But I'll let Pat tell you more about that. And, of course, what's happening today with the windy day here on tap in Western New York. Going to effort to get Paul Hamilton, if we can, squeeze him in today for about 10 minutes on the Sabres, who had a really nice win last night in New York, MSG against the Rangers. How about the MSG crowd, Owen, booing their Rangers last night? That was a really, it reminded me a bit, it's not the same thing, it reminded me a bit of the New England Patriots fans booing them when the Bills took it to them.
Yeah, it was a really impressive win for them. And I find myself saying that a lot.
Yep.
And I mean, you took it to them. The Rangers have really struggled at home this year, which I think contributes massively to the boos that they received last night, because they really didn't play a horrible game. They had a really strong third period, and the Sabres just sort of put their heads down and grinded through it and found a way to get it to the garage.
Yeah.
And it's you're running out of things to say about them because it's consistent. They are every night going out there and playing their game, which is just outworking whoever they're playing.
I love it. That's right. And what I like about this group right now and the way they're playing, the way they played last night is, it's a great word, consistency. It's not like you're getting these variables of, they won all these games, but they're kind of doing it fluky and they got to bounce here and a bounce there. They're working for their goals. They're working to block shots.
Yep.
They're getting good goaltending. That's the hallmark of a good team. That's exactly what you do.
And it's all coming together time after time.
And it reinforces it.
Exactly.
You know that. And as a player, it reinforces it.
Exactly. And as a player in the room, when you have a run like this, it proves you, especially in a situation like these guys are in, where for years they didn't, you know, you get beat down losing as much as they have.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
And they're seeing now, like, man, we have this in us. We have this in us. We're good. We can play with anybody. We beat Dallas and made them look silly on New Year's Eve. And we're going into New York to play in a big-time spot, and we kind of handled business, no matter how hard it got in the third period or how uncomfortable it was.
How cool is it going to be tomorrow night inside KeyBank Center? Sabres-Ducks tomorrow night. We'll have all the coverage for you here. Pre-game at 6, puck drops at 7, 18 hours before the Bills kick off in Jacksonville. That place is going to be buzzing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Wish I could go, but I'll be in Jacksonville, so I'm glad to be there, obviously, for the Bills taking on the Jaguars. Here's what I want to do today, folks, all right? We have lots of time for your calls, and it's time for you to get off your chest what you need to. Say what you need to say. Ask what you need to ask. Anything that's on your mind about this game, about the Buffalo Bills, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Buffalo Football Friday. We got Hudson, who's in Cleveland, who's been waiting a while impatiently, and I appreciate that. Hi, Hudson. You're on WGR.
Hey, I'm very excited for the game. I was just wondering if you thought it was a coincidence that we always have to come back, or do you think the best version of this offense is when we're throwing it? It seems like when we're running it in the screen passes, we're always down in the first half.
Well, they came back in New England by running the ball.
There was a lot of throws there, though.
Sure, but they really got it back into it by running the ball. They were so I don't think your premise is correct. They're not just coming back when they have to throw. They still run the ball to throw. Sometimes that happens, and no, I would still rather not be in that position. But it's not like they just throw the ball when they're down. In New England, they got a nice kick return. They controlled the game. They were down only at two scores. After that, they came back. I think to Cincy, probably a little more throwing. That was a team they could throw the ball against a little bit. I know the same thing happened down in against Baltimore week one. I think Pittsburgh was a little more leaning on the run, I think, when they came back. So, yeah, I don't think it's the best version is throwing the ball. No, I don't agree with that. The best version of this offense is running James Cook and controlling the game. In fact, the Bills have been at their worst this year when they've had to rely on the arm of Josh Allen consistently and pretty much exclusively. That happened against the Eagles. And I know that they scored some points, but, you know, the Eagles did a nice job to shut down the Bills' run game, and they didn't have much of a pivot because they couldn't get guys open, and then that's when guys pin their ears back. So I don't think it's really when they are the best version when they throw the ball. I think they're the best version when they run the ball. The problem is you don't want to be in a position like that all the time. You get in the playoffs, you start getting down, that's when you're going to be in trouble because these are good teams. They're going to close you out better than some of these other teams did. Let's go to Mike in Medina. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Quick question.
Good morning.
Just a quick question, a little off from what normal. But the other day and a couple of times, I heard you talk about 48-man roster, but you dress 50. You have 53, but you only dress 48. And then now with the expanded rosters for the playoffs, do you get 60 and you dress 55?
There's no expanded roster for the playoffs.
Oh, there's not. Okay.
No. So here's the deal, Mike. This happens for the whole season, okay? The only thing that's different that maybe you're confused about is the practice squad elevations, okay? So in the NFL, you have 53 players in your active roster, and you have 16 practice squad players, okay? Once you get to once you get to the weekend, you're allowed to elevate two practice squad players to make it a 55-man roster, okay? But out of those 55, you can only dress 48 of them. Seven must be inactive. Now, here's another kind of tidbit, and I don't want to confuse you. The only way you can dress 48 is by making sure you also have eight offensive linemen. If you only dress seven, you get 46 active. So every team does it, right? Every team dresses eight offensive linemen, so they get 48. So 48 guys are active. Seven guys, if you did elevate two, seven guys are inactive. Now, for those guys who get elevated, you can only do it with each player three times. For example, Dane Jackson was elevated three times this year. He could not be elevated again for the rest of the year. However, here's the difference in what you might be asking. In the playoffs, that resets. You could elevate a guy as many times as you want. It doesn't matter that he was already elevated three times.
Got it. That's it. You just cleared that up. And because I was with my buddies, I'm like, I think they can't do it anymore. But now you can in the playoffs. Yeah.
You got it. You got it, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That's exactly what it is. If anybody's saying they can't elevate a guy, yes, you can. In the playoffs, tell your buddy, though, Mike, you still only get two a week for each team. You know what I mean? So only two guys from the practice squad can come up, but every guy still has unlimited amount each. He can individually do it through the playoffs.
Got it.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, glad to help out. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. We got a we got a uniform matchup that I think is kind of cool. And I did not know I'd get the engagement on the uniform tweet, which is really cool. Thanks a lot to I think it's Grid. I wanna give the gridiron-uniforms.com. This thing, you can go back in this website, it's amazing. And look at every single uniform a team has worn pretty much every single week of their existence for any game. It's really amazing. There's a lot more in there too, not just the uniforms, announcers, everything. It's great. Gridiron database. So in this game, the Bills are wearing their white tops, white jerseys, white helmets. Yes, I know, folks. A lot of you say, just go back to the red. They're not doing that. Maybe they wear red again next year at some point. It's just not part of the discussion. It's kind of a waste of time for me. I get it. You like it, but that's not what they're wearing. We'll see if it happens next year. White tops with white helmets and blue pants and blue socks. For the Jags, they're going with their all teal, except for socks. They'll always be white. Teal tops, teal pants, white socks, black helmets. Interesting uniform combo. And most of you are saying, you know, that's not the best Jags uniform. The Bills white with the blue pants, they've been successful this year. But they've been a pretty successful team anyway, both teams have. So that just stands to reason that any uniform you wear, you're kind of going to have a pretty good record. I know there's been a couple that haven't been as successful and times they've worn them less. But the reason I bring this up is you can actually go to this website. It's really cool. And look at all of the uniforms for Wild Card Weekend. Like on Sunday, here's something for you. On Sunday, all right, the Niners, the Chargers, and the Texans, Owen, all right? Listen to this. These are games on Sunday. Niners play on Saturday. But of all these three teams, though, Niners, Chargers, Texans are wearing all white, each of them. All white, head to toe, except for their helmets. Niners all white, Chargers all white, Texans all white, socks included. The Rams are wearing white tops, yellow bottoms. These are the away teams. Packers, white tops, yellow bottoms. Bills, white tops, blue bottoms. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. Check it out. I'm getting a lot of cool replies from you guys on what you think about the uniforms. Not that it matters to the game. It doesn't. What matters to the game is how you play in the uniforms. And we'll talk about that here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as well. So let's get some more calls in. John in Greece, and we'll open up some phone lines. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base a little bit on some of the defensive schemes and what we think about the matchup for the Jags for those, in particularly running like the three linebackers down on the line of scrimmage, using like a zone fire blitz concept, dropping them back into coverage with man behind them, and then the blitz coming from different areas of the field. Do you think that the matchup with the Jags, with the weapons that they got and Trevor Lawrence, do we think that that's going to be effective?
Well, the Bills have done that this year. The Bills have done that. Here's what I think, John. Do you remember when Sean McVay coached Jared Goff in the Rams, right? You remember that, right? And they took the league by storm when McVay would talk to Goff in his headset, in his helmet, at the line of scrimmage until there was 15 seconds left, right? They wouldn't huddle. They go up to the line, and McVay would literally tell him what he's seeing on defense and give him the answers to the test, so to speak, right? He'd say, okay, there you go. This is what you got. And then once it got under 15, then it shuts off, and then Jared Goff, you know, would run the play. Well,
right.
The Jags do the same thing. Liam Cohen talks to Trevor Lawrence a lot of times, not every play, up until there's 15 seconds left. He's telling him what he's seeing on defense. Well, the Bills know that too. So what I think is what you're saying, and I agree, that maybe it could be effective to play some stunts, play some games after he thinks he's seeing something, but then you give him something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I wonder if that'll be effective. We'll see. Remember, Joey Bosa did that against New England, knocked down the fourth down pass, the zone blitz there? Dick LeBeau, the father of the zone blitz. Zone blitz means guys who are normally pass rushers, like defensive ends, defensive tackles even, at the snap of the ball, they'll drop into a zone and drop back, not covering a man, going to a zone, and then the linebackers will actually replace them and rush the passer. That's a zone blitz. And I do think that can be effective against teams who think that they see something and then you switch it up on them because they don't know where those rushers are coming from. And that's the same thing that's hurt the Bills this year, what we call simulated pressure. Simulated pressure is you see a lot of guys. I don't know where they're coming from, who's coming. I see six guys up there, four are coming. I don't know where they're coming from and who's dropping into zones. So those are things that'll happen this week. Those are things that'll be the game within the game. It'll be interesting. 803-0550 is your number to talk about it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get to your phone calls. We have open phone lines here for you to say what you need to say. Today's the day. Say what you got to say about the Bills and the Jags. Wild Card Weekend, Sunday at 1 here on WGR.